should you trust the United States bishops, the USCCB? This weekend is the big CCHD fund drive collection. What about the McCarrick Report? What about all these bishops and cardinals that seem to not have as their number one goal the salvation of souls? That one soul will die in a state of sin. I'm joined today by my good friend, Michael Hitchborn. He's been on here many times, mainly talking about the CCHD and the USCCB, and he has shown and done the research showing that money that you put into the plate, you put into the collection basket, going to the CCHD, Catholic Campaign for Human Development, goes to organizations that are pro-abortion, pro-contraceptive, pro-BLM, pro-Marxist. It's nonsense. So today, I welcome my friend, Hitch, Michael Hitchborn. How are you?
Doing great. Good to see you again.
Great to see you. How's your family?
We're doing fantastic. I really wish that we could have met up while you were in D.C.
I know.
That would have been a lot of fun.
Well, you know, Antifa is trying to kill us.
Yeah, I heard.
So I had to get out of town. We got the heck out of Dodge. Yeah, they're throwing fireworks, flares, blocking off streets. So I had my 9-year-old with me, and I wasn't real happy about all that.
Well, you know, the bishops flipped them a couple of bills to try and go after you in particular, I'm sure.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but hopefully I don't get a visit.
Yeah, right.
You know, yeah, whatever that means. Yeah. So let's begin with some prayers, and we'll pray the Our Father. You're good for the Latin second half?
Absolutely.
Hitchborn? Okay. Let's pray together. I invite everybody watching to pray with us. For everyone just getting in, we're talking about should you trust the United States Catholic bishops. We're talking about USCCB, located in Washington, D.C., and the CCHD, McCarrick Report, etc. All right, oremus. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra.
Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimite nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimitimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen.
Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Man, I love everybody's different Latin pronunciation. It's great.
Yeah, I know. Now, it's kind of funny.
Michael Hitchborn's calling in from the Battle of Lepanto. You can see he's there live right now in the background.
Our Lady's right over my head.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. That's a great painting. There's so many good Lepanto paintings. And we're living in Lepanto.
Oh, man. Absolutely.
So many people are saying, you know, it's this desperate moment. And I'm not talking about America. I'm talking all over the world.
Yep.
And we have some warriors. We have some politicians that aren't saints. But, you know, Don Juan of Austria, the lead admiral, he wasn't necessarily a saint.
No.
But he
He was a womanizer.
He did God's will. He was the
he's
the OG Don Juan. And yet he was the chief admiral at the Battle of Lepanto. Did you know that Don Juan said that if any man, Catholic, during the Battle of Lepanto blasphemed or said anything sacrilegious, he was to be killed on sight?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he didn't. He was worried that if any of his men committed blasphemy during the fight, that God would give the battle to the Muslims.
Wow.
So he said, don't you get the Holy Trinity against us by saying anything sacrilegious during the battle. Also, all the men went to confession and most of them to communion before the battle.
Very similar to what St. Joan of Arc did with the military when she was going off to battle, made them all go to confession, absolutely would not allow them to swear. Yep. And take the Lord's name in vain. Yeah.
Yep. And taking the Lord's name in vain, if you know it, is a mortal sin, folks. Do not do it. Do not let your children. No more OMG, OML, none of that. No JC. Yep. Catholics don't do that. We don't do that. We live in a secular society, so we think it's no big deal, but we don't do that. All right. This weekend, I saw on the interwebs and on Twitter and Facebots, the USCCB They want us to put dollar bills into the collection basket. I guess it's going to be second collection for the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, which you, Michael Hitchborn, have called you've called it a Saul Alinsky organization, a quasi. Is soft communism too soft to say about the CCHD?
I don't think so, actually. Okay. At this point, I think it's fair to say that it's a full-on Marxist entity.
Okay. So tell us briefly the history of the CCHD, Catholic Campaign for Human Development, and why are the bishops trying to get us to give hard-earned cash to this Alinskyite organization?
Sure. So the Catholic Campaign for Human Development was formed in 1969. It was established in...
Not my favorite year.
No. Not the summer of 69. Yeah. Bad song. Anyway, the...
Summer of Novus Ordo.
Yeah. Oh, that's
well,
right.
Well, it was written, but not promulgated, but yeah.
Right, yeah. So the CCHD was established primarily to fund Saul Alinsky's community organizing groups. It was created first in Chicago, where Saul Alinsky and Monsignor Jack Egan approached the Archdiocese of Chicago in order to take up a collection just to fund Saul Alinsky's community organizing groups. Later on, because it was such a...
You and I know who Saul Alinsky is. Maybe we should. Yes. You should just say a word on who
Absolutely.
He is.
So
I think
Saul
90%
Alinsky
of my audience knows, but for the 10% that don't.
Yeah, so Alinsky, he wrote the book Rules for Radicals, and then the second book, Reveille for Radicals. Yeah, absolutely Marxist ideologies. The whole idea
dedicated
is
to Satan.
Warfare. No, dedicated to Lucifer, tongue in cheek. But, you know, the thing is, he said that the book was dedicated to Lucifer because he was the first one to win his own kingdom through organizing. So it's a tongue in cheek reference. But when you read some of the things that Alinsky says, it's absolutely Luciferian because it follows the model of envy, agitation, and destabilization, which is exactly what Lucifer did when he rebelled in heaven. So he took the angels with him, and Saul Alinsky is trying to take humanity with him as well. Alinsky also, incidentally, said that if he ever died, he hopes he goes to hell because then he would organize there too. Yeah, I know. It's... anyway,
dare we hope that all men be saved?
So the CCHD was formed in Chicago as a way of raising funds for Saul Alinsky's community organizing groups. And then what wound up happening is that Bernardin went to the USCCB. He was the first Secretary General of the USCCB, and he introduced what was done in Chicago as an idea for a national collection. So he approached, I believe it was Cardinal Roach at the time, him, and proposed it as an idea for a national CCHD collection. It was the first really national grand scale collection that became a regular thing. And it was a resounding success. They pulled in millions of dollars just on the first collection alone. So it's a huge cash cow for the USCCB. The problem is it's a re-granting entity. So what it does is it takes money and it gives it to community organizing groups all over the country. These groups are all predicated on Saul Alinsky's Industrial Areas Foundation, the Gamaliel Foundation, the PICO Network, and a host of other community organizing networks and individual groups. And routinely, they have been found since the 1970s to be organizations that are fomenting revolution, fomenting Marxist ideologies, promoting abortion, promoting contraception, promoting homosexuality. And every single time they get caught, the CCHD has the same set of written talking points that they've had for the last 40 years, always saying the same thing. Oh, well, that was a mistake. We didn't know this about the group. We'll be better next time, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it never pans out. They just keep doing what they're doing, and they hope that it blows over and people won't pay attention.
And I also say, well, the money was intended not to go to that item, but these other items over here. But you have to realize these are slush checking accounts.
Well, not only that, but the CCHD's grant guidelines themselves stipulate that if the organization does things that are antithetical to church teaching, it's not going to give them money. Earlier this year, just a couple of months ago, I believe we did a program on the CCHD's funding of a network that was trying to get Joe Biden elected as president.
Yes, we did.
And in that particular program, what we discussed is that Faith in Action, which used to be called the PICO Network, it's 29 different organizations getting money from the CCHD. The PICO Network, or Faith in Action Network, now that it's called, has 49 groups. So more than half are getting funding from the CCHD to the tune of $1.5 million. And what we found was that Faith in Action is itself going around trying to get people to vote for Joe Biden, to give money to the Biden campaign, and da-da-da-da-da. Then we did that article. We did a follow-up article on that. The follow-up article, what we revealed is that Faith in Action is also promoting rebellion, violent rebellion, applauding the efforts to burn down buildings. Faith in Action is promoting transgenderism. It's promoting prostitution. It's promoting abortion. And we have videos. We have screenshots. We've got all of this material. We've put it up on our website. And the CCHD said nothing, said absolutely nothing. So what we have now.
No response since you came on the show with all the evidence. No. They've had zero response to you since then.
Zero response. And what's more, people have written to the CCHD, said, hey, what's up with this? What's going on? And the lowerlings, the CCHD coordinators at the various chancery offices, will say things like, oh, that's just not true. The Lepanto Institute just doesn't like helping the church's poor and blah, blah, blah. And they said, but we'll ask the national CCHD. And then the national CCHD's only response is, we're looking into it. And that's it. Right. And they say we're looking into it, and nothing ever follows up. There's no follow through. There's no indication that they actually found any problems or how they're going to address this very real issue. Because one of the grant guidelines of the CCHD is that they will not fund organizations that are involved in partisan politics. And we have an entire network that's involved in partisan politics. In fact, the USCCB voted unanimously in 2008 to permanently defund the network called ACORN, and most people probably remember ACORN as part of the Barack Obama machine getting him elected. The USCCB permanently banned ACORN because of their involvement in partisan politics. Faith in Action is no different. It's doing exactly what ACORN was doing in 2008, and the USCCB has been silent on this. So we published an article, and I sent you a link to it. We published an article, and the headline is Catholic-funded network continues shilling for Democrat candidates. What we found, because we like to keep tabs on the organizations that the CCHD is funding, even after we've put out reports on them, and you would have expected that this organization would have said, you know, they would normally try to hide what they did. They get caught. They go, oh, we didn't do that. And then they sweep it under the rug. They delete things off of Facebook. They delete delete their entire accounts, block our ability to research them, that kind of thing. They didn't do that. In fact, Faith in Action's project called Live Free, which is what we've primarily researched with this whole thing, is now currently calling for people to fund, to give financial support to Reverend Warnock and Ossoff, the two political candidates for Senate down in Georgia.
Yes.
So instead of actually, you know, pulling back or dialing it back and trying to say, oh, no, we don't get involved in that kind of thing, they're doubling down and they're calling people to actually give money to these two political candidates so that they can defeat the pro-life incumbents.
I mean, we are living in a time when the bishops are becoming the enemy of the good.
Yeah.
The enemy of the pro-life movement. And we've talked about this before. I think Abby Johnson's mentioned it before. It's like, so such and such bishop is a total heretic. He does all this bad stuff, covers up for priests. And then people say, well, yeah, but he's pro-life. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's pro-life. Give him a break. That 2020, that's over, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Just waving, I'm a pro-life, but they never show up at a pro-life dinner. They don't come out and pray in front of a Planned Parenthood. We don't see him at the March for Life. Yeah, but I'm pro-life. And they just laugh all the way back to the Appletini bar because they can trick these pious people by saying, I'm pro-life, and then we just let them do all this bad stuff.
Where's the USCCB's National Collection for Pro-Life Initiatives? They have never, ever had one. Not one.
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Just crazy.
So the USCCB, which says, oh, we're pro-life and we do pro-life things and we stand for life. Oh, you sure do. But you don't want to give any money to it.
No.
You don't want to actually put the work in to fight for it. Oh, you've got a pro-life commission office. Do you know how big that office is? I've been to it. I've seen the pro-life commission office. It's two rooms. Two rooms. Mm-hmm. The rest of the USCCB building is devoted to social justice and lobbying on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
I've been in there.
That's because babies don't have any cash money.
That's right. That's right. Well, not only that, but gosh, if the bishops started fighting against abortion, they would really upset all of their pro-abortion Democrat allies.
Yep.
Because the Democrats are the ones who are lobbying to get more funding for things like PEPFAR and USAID and the Global Fund and the Immigration Resettlement Initiatives, which are massive cash cows for the USCCB. So when the USCCB doesn't do anything regarding pro-life initiatives, it's not even just – it's not really fully an ideological thing. I think there are plenty of bishops at the USCCB that are pro-life. But they also recognize that if the USCCB started really pushing hard on the pro-life stuff, that their Democrat allies, which are maintaining their cash flow from the federal government,
yes,
would stop funding them.
Yes. Have you noticed, Joe and I were at lunch, we were talking about the political situation. Have you noticed that the A-team of the Democrats are all, get ready for it, scare quote Catholic?
Oh, yeah.
Joe Biden says he's a Catholic. Nancy Pelosi says she's a Catholic. Cuomo says he's a Catholic. AOC says she's a Catholic.
Does she really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Didn't you see that article, The Future Face of Catholics in America? It's a picture of AOC.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know she actually identified as a Catholic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what does that mean today? What does it mean that Joe Biden identifies as a Catholic? What does that mean? And, you know, you've spoken about it before, is these bishops are not getting the money that they need from the offertory plate or offertory basket.
Right.
They have turned to the government. Government pays in the millions, not in the fives and $10 yep. bills that people put into the plate, but in the millions. And they got in on this scheme of resettlement of migrants. And they get paid by right. the head of resettling a migrant. Donald Trump shut that down. Not all of it, but a good bit of it. And the diocese in America are suffering because they can't get those government monies, those government grants. They're hurting. They yep. need a Joe Biden to come in, open up the flood of migration, and suddenly they start getting paid by the head to resettle an immigrant in America, and they get a check from the government for every single one of those. Do you people out there know that?
You know,
that's why
something
they like
in
Biden.
The back of my head is something in the back of my head just kind of keeps saying there's something someone said once about serving God and what's that guy's name? Mammon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Choose. You serve God or you shoot, choose money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, this is really frustrating, and the USCCB meeting and the McCarrick report, and there's just not been a lot of fortitude or testosterone coming at all from the USCCB.
Well, in many ways, I think a lot of them have completely sold out to not just the hard left, but the world itself. I mean, what are we fighting against? The world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yeah.
So the USCCB has sold out to
uh-oh.
Dealing that it's involved in. So that's one. it's sold out to the flesh because the USCCB or many of the bishops in it are involved in pederasty, just like McCarrick. Okay, McCarrick is involved, and there are.
And I honestly think more and more because they're nervous about the pederasty. Just because you saw Cardinal Supich, it was a year ago, talk about, yeah. Well, as long as they're consenting adults, there's not a canonical penalty. So you got two dudes in Miami on vacay, mm-hmm. swirling martinis, but as long as they're both consenting adults, no canonical penalties. I don't know. I like those old church fathers when they talk about some pretty harsh penalties for
absolutely
sexual immorality. Whether it's gay or straight.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be celibate.
Right.
Chaste.
Right. So there are a lot of bishops and priests that have sold out to the flesh. We just talked about the world. They've sold out to the flesh. All of McCarrick report, all of the, the pederasty scandal, all of that. And then they've also sold out to the devil in many ways. In one respect, and you and I were talking about this just before the show, is the report that we put together a month ago about a radio station in Newark, New Jersey called WSOU.
Oh, you got to tell this.
So this radio station, which is owned by Seton Hall University. Now, the thing about Seton Hall University is that it is a diocesan university, which means it belongs to the Archdiocese of Newark. It is under the direct auspices and authority of the Archbishop, who is currently Cardinal Joseph Tobin.
Yep. Call him Big Tobin.
Yeah.
Now, there's two Tobins.
Two Tobins. Yeah. The other Tobin is the one in
Delaware. We used to say good Tobin, bad Tobin, but I think both Tobins are no good now.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah. So the radio station, since 1986, has been piping out not just heavy metal rock music, not just popular, visceral music, but really hardcore satanic music. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. I spent hours sifting through and listening to this music. And we're talking about people that are like throat guttering into the microphone kind of thing as they are spewing lyrics about smashing people's heads in with sledgehammers and then going through the very graphic description of what that's like from a first-person standpoint. They've got lyrics about stalking and raping women. They've got lyrics about finding young virgins and sacrificing them in a satanic ritual. They've got lyrics about making a grand offering to the serpent. There are all sorts of different lyrics, and we went through systematically and we showed not only the lyrics of the bands that they were playing, we also in our video report played what we heard from recordings on their own radio station, and it was horrifying. This stuff is not just bad. It's not just evil. It's literally satanic, literally straight from the pit of hell. And we have contacted the Archdiocese of Newark. We have contacted Seton Hall University. And the general response from the Archdiocese is, well, there's not much we can do about that, unfortunately. Really? Because as an archdiocesan university, Cardinal Tobin can shut that radio station down tomorrow.
Sure can. He's got a red hat on his head.
That? Because Seton Hall University owns the radio station Call Signal. And Archbishop Tobin owns the university. So he could shut it down.
Yeah.
He won't.
Not only that, Seton Hall is also a seminary.
Yes. Yes. A seminary that is reputed to have a very strong homosexual presence.
Okay. Can I What's get real with you, Michael? I've been to Seton Hall.
Oh, yeah?
I've been to their seminary, yeah. I was there on a Friday night, and this was way back when I was working for the pastoral provision. This was for married Episcopal priests who were becoming Catholic like I did. And we had some Episcopal priest who needed a seminary evaluation. Hmm. This is what Rome required. And so I don't know why it was chosen, but Seton Hall was chosen as the place for them to go. And they would meet with every, like the church history guy and the dogmatic guy and the liturgy guy, and they would get evaluated. Okay. This was over 10 years ago. So I was there for that. And I remember going to Vespers with them, and it was super modernist and weird. I didn't like it at all. But the weird thing is after that was over, I was sitting in the lobby waiting for someone. It was like Friday, maybe 8, 9 o'clock PM. All the seminarians, not all, but a lot of them, dozens, come down. They've got tight jeans on. They got blouses on. They got the hair all spiked and stuff. And I see them just in groups assembling and leaving out the door of the seminary. And I asked someone, I was like, what's going on? Where's everybody going to the seminary? They're like, oh, it's Friday night. They're going out.
Going out?
Yeah, they're going out. And I was like, this should be like a monastery.
Yeah.
These guys, I mean, I don't know about you, Michael. We're married men. I don't gel up my hair at 9 p.m. on Sunday and roll out.
Well, I mean, let's put it. let's say that, you know, I wasn't married yet as a priest is not or as a seminarian is not yet a priest. Right. But let's say that I was engaged as a seminarian or in a courtship, right, as a seminarian is when he's, you know, contemplating the priesthood. If that were the case, if I were to go out to a club and kind of hang out and scour the area and go dancing with other women, it would be not only incredibly disrespectful to my betrothed, but it would invalidate the relationship. It would nullify the relationship, and she would be right to say, you know what, I've had it with you, goodbye. And the same way, it should apply the same way for a seminarian. That's abominable.
Yeah. It's weird, man. I was like, I don't know. I was kind of disgusted. I had to ask someone, what's going on? And they go, they're all going out. It's Friday night. Bros.
So what's interesting about,
let me just say something real quick, because people in the chat are getting concerned. They want to know if Seton Homeschool is related to all this. No, it's just the same name. Seton Homeschool has nothing to do with what we're talking about. This is Seton Hall Seminary and College, and it's in New Jersey.
Right.
Okay, so this is not Seton Homeschool.
No, not at all.
Everybody take a deep breath.
Not in any way related.
Yeah. Okay. So there is, it's satanic metal. I mean, are they like singing to Satan and like blaspheming God and our Lord?
In some of the lyrics, yes. There's a band called Lamb of God.
Okay.
Its name was changed from Burn the Priest to Lamb of God. Yeah. And the symbology on its album cover, you look at the symbology, they've got the inverted cross. They've got the spilled Eucharist all over the place. They've got God in lowercase g when everything else is uppercase. So I mean, it's very clearly blasphemous, and their lyrics are blasphemous. This is Norwegian death metal stuff.
Yeah, played at a Catholic seminary college,
right,
on their radio station under Cardinal Tobin. Now, you know what's interesting though? If that college had a traditional Catholic conventicle and there was kids praying the rosary and demanding a traditional Latin mass and preset, you know, I bet you Cardinal Tobin might do something about that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. He would say, this is not, what would he say? This is divisive.
Yeah. This is against the church. This is against
the Pope or something. This is non-ecumenical. Yeah.
So it's amazing that, you know, yesterday I got attacked by Bishop Rick mm-hmm. Sticka. I didn't say a dang thing about him. I was just minding my business on Twitter, and he's throwing bombs, and he says I attack him. It's a total gaslighting situation. We see that when Cardinal Tobin, and by the way, Cardinal Tobin, who's over this radio station, is the same guy who tweeted out "Nighty Night, Baby, I Love You" to someone.
Yep.
He said it was to his sister, but I don't talk that way to my sister. Kind of weird.
Nope.
These are the same guys that when you have satanic music and you have homosexual parties and you have child molestation and you have liturgical abuse and Eucharistic abuse, they just say, well, There's just nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you get a lady trying with her kids, homeschool kids, trying to receive communion on the tongue, and they call the cops.
Right. Yep.
This is the United States Catholic bishops that we're living under, and it's disgusting.
So to tie in with McCarrick, here's the interesting thing about the situation with WSOU.
That's the radio station?
That's the radio
station. Satanic radio station, okay.
In 1986 is when the radio station changed its recorded or its broadcast format to start broadcasting exclusively heavy metal, like death metal music. 1986 also happens to be the same year that Bishop McCarrick became the Archbishop of Newark, New Jersey.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
That's so, right. So people need to know, Cardinal McCarrick was, before he was D.C., he was Newark, where this college is.
Right. Yep.
Man, this stuff is...
It gets, I mean, you start following these rabbit holes, and after a while, certain things start to fall into place, and suddenly you've got a picture that makes a little bit of sense. When you think about homosexuality, I mean, the thing to really remember, and you can ask Joseph Chambre this, where you find homosexuality, you will invariably find the occult.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always. And where you find the occult, it always delves into homosexuality. They are intimately connected. Archbishop McCarrick at that time was known to be sleeping with seminarians. He had a beach house in Newark, New Jersey. He was trolling around the campus and picking up the seminarians, especially the ones that he liked the most, and pressing them into situations that were extremely compromising and uncomfortable until after a while they kind of accepted it and started calling him Uncle Ted.
So that what he would do is, we know this now, it's in the McCarrick report, he would invite these young men, his handsome men, nephews he calls them, to his beach house. But he already knew how many beds were at the beach house, and he'd always make sure there was one extra guy. And he would say to that one, well, you're going to have to sleep in my bed because we're short on a bed.
Right.
He did that numerous times. That was how he preyed on young men.
So McCarrick engaged in that behavior the same year that the radio station's format changed to death metal, satanic music. I have a very hard time believing that this is just a coincidence.
Yes.
I can't prove anything, but when you start looking at the pieces and you understand that homosexuality and the occult are connected, it seems a logical conclusion that McCarrick was also engaged in some sort of occult behavior.
Yes. Well, and in my book Infiltration, I show that he goes to the region of St. Gallen Mafia, and Aleister Crowley, the Gnostic Catholic Church, which is part of Crowley's system, was also there. Like just
really?
Yeah, within just like 30 miles of where McCarrick was. And Crowley has in his magical occult system sex magic. And as you go up the ladder in the sex magic, it gets into sodomy and homosexuality. That's
right.
All documented in my book Infiltration, if you want to see that. And then how it, and my I suspect we I don't know if we can ever prove this, but I suspect that because that has such a stronghold in that portion of Switzerland, my guess, and that's also where the Conference of European Bishops meet, my guess is that there is some occult, you know, connection there with the sex magic, which of course is connected with the sodomy. And
you know,
then, you know, we see European Bishop Center there, and then we see McCarrick having gone there and then come back to America and then shoot right up the ranks to Cardinal of DC.
You know, it's weird. The first time that I heard the word coprophagia was...
I'm going to have to bleep you out.
Yeah. Well, but the first time that I ever heard that word was, or saw that word, was when I was reading and investigating Aleister Crowley about 20 years ago. The second time that I ever heard that word was from Pope Francis himself.
Yep.
So why does he know what that is? And the only reason
I didn't know what it was when Francis said it until people started talking about it. I said, why are we talking about this?
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely foul, but it's a part of Crowley's rules of Thelema. Which is his made-up religion that worships the devil through sex magic.
And he also, Crowley also wrote the Gnostic Catholic Mass.
Ew.
And I'm not even going to tell you what they use for the bread and the elements. It's disgusting.
I can only imagine.
But it's a mockery of the Mass. It's a mockery of the Mass. And, it's right there next to St. Gallen, where all this stuff started going on in Switzerland. It's right there, the same county. Oh, we lost Hitchborn. Let me get him back on here. Everybody just take a moment. Okay, we lost you, but you're back. You hear me?
Okay. That's strange. I saw you the whole time.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, you were gone for maybe 10 seconds. You're fine.
Oh, strange. Okay.
But yeah, and you know what else is kind of weird? It's been a while since I wrote this book, so I don't remember all the details, but Crowley's remains were brought back to New Jersey.
No way.
Yeah. Yep. If I know we're going to talk about it, I would have looked it up in Infiltration. If anyone's at home and has a copy of Infiltration, look at the index for me. But yeah, it sure did.
Oh, now that's very interesting. I'd be very interested to know exactly where. Why New Jersey?
There's something bad. There's something bad going on in New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the music that's being cranked out of Newark, I mean, a lot of it, they even sing about Crowley. Some of those songs are actually about Aleister Crowley. There was a song by
Crowley or Crowley? I don't know. Is it Crowley?
It was originally Crowley, but he changed the pronunciation to Crowley because he wanted it to sound like the word holy.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, that's bad.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. Are you ready? I found it.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is reading from the book, page 206. The gross sex magic of Aleister Crowley's Gnostic Catholic Church is symbolically connected with Theodore McCarrick, since Crowley's cremated ashes are buried in Hampton, New Jersey, within McCarrick's first diocese of Metuchen.
Oh, weird.
New Jersey, where he served as bishop there from 1980 to 1986. McCarrick then magically ascended to priest, 1958, Monsignor, 65, Bishop, 77, Archbishop, 86, and then Cardinal in 2001, without ever having served as a pastor of a parish. His ascent through the hierarchy happened impressively after his initial visit to St. Gallen in 1949 and at least 10 other visits subsequently. Page 207 with two footnotes. Infiltration.
Wow.
Yep. So it's kind of weird that Aleister Crowley, by the way, his photo is on the cover of the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper, Lonely Hearts Club Band. He's on there.
Oh, yeah.
That his remains come back to the diocese, the first diocese of McCarrick.
You know, a couple of years.
What's going on here?
Yeah. I don't think that that's coincidental. It can't be. It can't be. A couple of months ago, I was researching Crowley on a couple of other unrelated matters, and I found a photograph that I found to be very interesting. It was a picture of a guy named Kenneth Anger. You ever heard of Kenneth Anger?
Nope.
So Kenneth Anger is a rampant homosexual. He's one of the big disciples of Crowley's Thelema, the religion of Thelema. And he's really connected with a lot of the Hollywood elite. He's connected with certain politicians. You'll see his picture show up at certain key events. He was actually a part of Marina Abramovich's spirit cooking a little while ago. Mm-hmm. He was there along with a bunch of other bigwig celebrities. But he did film producing. He actually helped facilitate. He was real close to the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger and all them. Mm. Anyway, I found a picture of Anger with the founder of Seekus. What's his name?
I don't know what Seekus is.
Yeah, Seekus. It's a research think tank into sexuality. Okay. The gosh, I can't think of his name now. I can see his face. Liam Neeson played him in a movie recently. Anyway, he was the world's first sexologist, so to speak. This guy that I'm thinking of, whose name I'm blanking on right now. And
not Sigmund Freud, right? No,
no, no, no, no, no. He's a follower of Freud, but he did all this research back in the 40s where he was getting prisoners to get involved with researching how human sexual behavior works with male and female and what sort of practices they engage in and how rampant is homosexuality and how normal is
this Kinsey?
Kinsey.
Alfred,
yes.
Kinsey.
Alfred Kinsey.
There we go.
So the picture is of Kenneth Anger with Alfred Kinsey at Thelema Abbey in Sicily.
Ooh.
Yeah. So now you have a connection between the founder of SICUS, which, again, I can't remember what the acronym stands for. But the founder of SICUS with Kenneth Anger at Thelema Abbey, he's a prominent quote-unquote sexologist who is trying to normalize homosexuality, and he winds up being a major proponent of abortion and birth control. So all of this comes together. You have these connections, and I do think that a lot of these paths, the evils that we have seen in the world right now, are very much connected with Crowley.
Yes.
I really think so, especially in the church.
He's a bad dude.
And how many nephews of McCarrick are involved? Who knows?
Yes. Yeah, I'm on page 200 of my book. I'm looking at it. It talks about, I don't want to read it online because it's kind of gross, but it talks about his sex magic and his great interest in the, I think this is safe to say, solar phallic religion. That's what he's promoting.
Yep.
That. He was derided as the wickedest man in the world. I actually, you know what's cool? I met two traditional Catholics who said, "Oh, Dr. Marshall, read your book, Infiltration. Thank you so much." We were in Thelema. We were in Crowley's cult, and we are now Catholic. They attend the traditional Latin Mass. Yes. I met them, two of them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. God's grace is powerful. That's why we pray the rosary and we say these things, because people need to hear it. People are lost. They're under the power of the devil.
I heard that the grandson of Aleister Crowley converted to Catholicism, and he is currently undergoing exorcism.
Well, that's fantastic. We should everybody say a Hail Mary for him.
Absolutely.
Crowley founded the Ecclesia Gnostica Catholica, the Gnostic Catholic Church. The purpose of this church is to reestablish, or to restore, this is a lie, restore Christianity to its original status as a solar phallic religion. Its oldest lodge is in Switzerland.
Hmm.
They celebrate the rite of the Liber XV, or the Liber 15, or Gnostic Mass, which Crowley wrote in Moscow, Russia in 1913.
Ugh.
The liturgy calls for five officers, a priest, a priestess, a deacon, and two acolytes that are called, quote, children. I'm not going to read the rest.
Yeah.
But it's page 200, 201 if you want the details and the footnotes in Infiltration.
SICUS.
People are always trying to say, "Oh, you're trying to sell your book." No, I'm trying to give you some good information.
Yeah.
You can spend $19 and get all this info, or just go to the library and read it for free.
Well, not only that, but I mean, my goodness, if you've got a resource library right in front of you that you put together, you might as well use it.
It's got a timeline in the appendix of the entire life of McCarrick.
Nice.
But I didn't know about that radio station connection. That's interesting.
So the SICUS stands for Sexuality Information and Education Council of the United States.
I already hate it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's horrible. Yeah. I mean, it's connected to Planned Parenthood and all the things that are evil in the world. So yeah.
Yep. Quick question from the audience here.
Mm-hmm.
What it's Alan. Let me put on the screen. Alan asks us, how many bishops, roughly in percentage, do you think are corrupted? Also, who can we trust? So I have a number in my mind. I'm going to see what the number in your mind is, Michael Hitchborn. And let's limit it to the USA because we don't know, what things are like in Vietnam or Nigeria or whatever. So United States bishops, what percentage of them can we trust?
Well, I think there has to be a definition of what we mean by trust. I trust anybody to act according to their character. So when I think of...
But that means you trust Hannibal Lecter's going to eat your face.
Exactly. with a chilled Chianti. but with the bishops, who do I trust? There are certain bishops that I think are of high quality character. I think that there are at least 10 in the United States that are of a high quality character. Probably we might even be able to double that number, maybe 20.
But really? You go that high? I'm impressed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, some of the ones that I used to know that I would have included in that category are now dead. So maybe that number's come down a bit. In terms of bishops that we cannot trust, that we believe to be on the wrong side of the tracks, not just by formation, but by act of the will, that they definitely will the evil. They are of a malicious character. Right. I would put that at about the same number. There are probably around 20 in the United States that are of an actively evil nature. The vast majority of the bishops are weak. They have either sinned and are easily manipulated, but they still have a semblance of conscience, and they desire the salvation of their souls, and they have somewhat of a desire for the salvation of the souls of their flock. I would put that in the majority, but they are easily manipulable. They are weak. They don't have a strong sense of what is right and wrong within or for even what it means to adhere to Catholic teaching. And so they wind up squishing on a lot of things. I think that's the majority of them. So a small number on both sides are trustworthy or are malicious, but most of them are squishy and soft and malleable.
So you're saying 10 to 20 on each end and then squish in the middle?
Yes.
Okay. It's like an Oreo.
Kind of, yeah.
So, or a tuna sandwich, panini style.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm not as optimistic as you, Michael Hitchborn. I don't think there's 10 to 20 decent or good ones. I think there are under five.
Under five.
Under five that I would trust. Under five. Maybe under three, even. I've become... in the last 2 years, much more aware of, particularly on the, you know, I think Joseph Chambra has really kind of helped me see what's really going on behind the scenes, that there is a shell game going on with bishops. And there's a lot, you know, it's kind of like you say, there's soft and they're willing to compromise. But at a certain point in the history of Catholicism in the United States of America, You compromise, and I mean, you're basically full on evil at a certain point. When you've compromised and you've covered up, you know, sexually abusive priests, and you've moved them around, and you've turned your eye to things going on in seminary and to your seminarians, that adds up. And I think probably they began by saying, well, when I'm a pastor, I'll do the right thing. Right now, I'm just a vicar.
Sure.
When I'm and then they got pastors, well, when I'm a Monsignor, I'll do the right thing. And then they got Monsignors, well, when I could really do the most best for people if I were a bishop. So when I'm a bishop is when I'll really call down some lightning bolts. And then once they're bishop, they start saying, well, I'd like to be a bishop of that diocese, or maybe I could be an archbishop, maybe I'd be cardinal. And then by that time, they're soft, effeminate 68-year-old men who are never going to do a darn thing for the people, and more importantly, for the Lord.
Sure. And ambition gets in the way of sanctity. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think it's under five. So there's 170-something dioceses in America.
197.
Is it 197? Mm-hmm. That must include the Greeks or the Easterns. Does it?
No, that's okay. But you've got to think of all the different dioceses that you have in some of the more remote locations. But yeah, I used to run the Canon 915 project at American Life.
Okay.
I had to map
so there's
them
how
all
many? 100? How many? What? 190? What? Seven?
197.
Dioceses.
Yep.
How many bishops? Because you got auxiliaries and all that in there.
So the last time I looked, I think it was 300 plus active bishops.
Does that include emeritus?
That includes emeritus.
Okay.
Yeah. But the it's interesting. I've met a number of auxiliary bishops that I think are a lot better than the ones who are in positions of authority. But then the question is, you think back to the Alta Vendita. One of the things that's mentioned in the Alta Vendita is how it says that you will earn for yourselves reputations as faithful and holy men, while on the inside, always scheming. So these individuals who may be good, may not be. I don't know. I can't right. read hearts. But it unfortunately, because of the bad ones who have burned us so many times, it becomes more and more difficult to trust the good ones.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm going to stick with my number five or under are good and trustworthy.
You're probably more right than I am.
Okay. All right, Alan, I think that hopefully that helps. And then, yeah, I think when you say totally corrupted, like maybe worship Satan, don't mm-hmm. believe in God or don't believe in Christ or the gospel, don't
actively
believe in transubstantiation, I'd say there may be about 20 of those from what I've yeah. been able to put together in the United States.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our numbers are close.
Yeah, I think that number's about right. Yep.
So,
yeah. Well, good. Well, I think we covered CCHD. Oh, in conclusion, don't give money to the CCHD.
Oh, yeah. It should go without saying, but in case nobody got the point, yeah.
Right. Do not. They're going to tell you. And, you know, another problem, I think you mentioned this on a previous interview we did, Michael, is some bishops will just take diocesan money and put it into CCHD. Don't some of them do that?
I'm sure some do. They may just do a general assessment of their own and send that money onto the CCHD. So it's really hard to determine, you know, whether the bishops are using the money for the purposes that they say that they're using mm-hmm. it for or what. But, you know, it just tends to be the thing.
Well, let's talk to the priests. I remember talking to a priest once and he said, I will never – ever tell the people to give, and I will never put out the envelopes. He goes, good. I feel that if I facilitate that collection, I am committing a mortal sin.
I wish other priests
were like him and saying, yeah, if you put out an envelope for money that goes to organizations that promote abortion, contraception, are campaigning for Joe Biden, doing all this stuff with Catholic money, it's supposed to be going to help for human development. That's a strange phrase, but so priests, we're calling on you to be the Maccabee. Don't you put that envelope out. And lay yeah. people, if you see that envelope, I want you go to your priest and say, no, what is this envelope? Why'd you put this out? Don't you know where this money's going? Why are we, right. why are we putting out these envelopes? Why are we promoting this? And then if your parish is promoting this, I think you need to think about why you're part of that parish, and is there an alternative that you can go to?
Right. And speaking to the priests also, they have to remember that they are protected under canon law to never follow through on something that they believe is going to endanger their souls.
Right.
They are not obligated to take up a collection that they believe to be gravely immoral. And if they decide to go down the route, and I've actually assisted with a case regarding canon law to prove that the CCHD is engaged in the financing of organizations that are engaged in gravely immoral activities. So if a priest believes that that collection is going to gravely immoral activities, and he can demonstrate it, then he is not obligated and he is protected under canon law to not give. to not participate in the campaign. And if he ever, if a priest listening ever needs any resources, go to our website, lepantoin.org. My contact information is right there. You can always contact me directly. Just put attention Michael Hitchborn in the email and I will get it. And I will do whatever I can in order to assist you so that you are protected canonically. And I can put you in touch with canon lawyers as well. But we can, let's make sure that you understand what the material is, why it's immoral to participate in the CCHD, and how you can protect yourself and your flock by not participating.
Good. Good. So priest, do not move forward with the CCHD. And lay people, if your priest does, I want you to take a deep breath and be kind. You're not supposed to be belligerent. You don't cuss the priest out.
Right.
You bring the envelope and you say, Reverend Father, why are we collecting money to give to evil purposes, even if it's partially evil purpose? This is going to reveal the hearts of many. And so you have to be kind, right? We're not going to terrorize anyone, but we are going to find out who supports what. Do you support righteousness, or are you supporting organizations that undermine not only the Catholic faith, but humanity itself?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's what the CCHD does.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Well, we are going to pray a Ave Maria for all the priests who are going to be in this situation over the next 2 days. Or maybe 8 days. I don't know exactly how it all works out, but we're going to pray an Ave Maria for all the priests. So I ask everyone to join us. And Hitchborn, are you good for the second half on Ave Maria?
Absolutely.
All right. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Sancta Maria, Mater Dei. Ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Saint
Amen.
Joseph.
Pray for us.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Victory.
Pray for us. All right. Well, everybody, take up space. If you're able in your state capital, go to a Jericho march. 7 laps of rosary around your state capital. Please like this video, give it a thumbs up. Please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and now share it on Parler. I love Parler. Parler is high energy. You're on Parler, right?
I am on Parler, yes.
Follow Michael Hitchborn on Parler. I can't believe how much activity is on Parler.
I'm very surprised, but I'm not entirely surprised. A lot of the social media has jumped ship from Facebook and Twitter because, that's what happens when you start censoring people.
When you censor people, yeah. So, and there's a lot, I mean, it's just kind of interesting, all the different memes you see over on Parler that you would never see over on Twitter. And Facebook and all that. It's an interesting place to be. So please share this video on Facebook, Twitter, and or Parler. And also please subscribe if on Periscope and also subscribe here on YouTube. Hit the bell, you'll be notified. Tons of people in the last 4 or 5 days have told me that they've either been unsubscribed from this channel, Dr. Taylor Marshall, on YouTube, or the bell, which notifies you of the whenever I go live, has been grayed out or turned off. So I would ask everyone right now, just scroll underneath this video on YouTube, see if you are still subscribed, and then see if you're still notified by the bell being signaled there. So I apologize. Well, I don't apologize because I didn't do it, but I'm sorry that people are getting unsubscribed. People are saying they're not getting that. And it's just part of the game they're playing right now. So I just found out my channel got put on a right partisan list today. So they're after us. They want to shut us down. And I'm talking about bishops and governors and maybe people in the federal.
Yep.
So So anyway, thanks, everybody. They're not going to support these videos, so you have to do it. So share them, subscribe them. And then also, very important, go to Lepanto Institute. LepantoIN.org?
Yep, that's it.
LepantoIN.org. If you're a priest and you need help, go there. If you're a layperson and you talk to your priest and he says, oh, no, that's all lies, you go to LepantoIN.org, and Michael Hitchborn has all the material there to show you what they're doing. to expose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If it's okay, can I put in a crass commercial message?
Yes, please.
All right, great. At the Lepanto Institute, we are now putting out a brand new piece of jewelry that I think that you all would appreciate. It's a Sacred Heart cross that I designed. I sculpted it earlier this year, and a jeweler saw it online, and he was very impressed, and he thought that it would make a very fine cross for people to wear. And after a little bit of work and going back and forth with him, he has now created the Sacred Heart cross as a wearable piece of jewelry. So if you go to our sales page, LepantoCatholicGifts.com, so that's LEPANTO, CatholicGifts.com, you'll see the Sacred Heart cross, and you can order one for yourself or a loved one.
There it is. I just pulled it up. I found it.
Awesome.
I can see it on the screen. There it is. Yeah, it's lovely. Got the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Good. Okay, and that helps fund Lepanto Institute and what you guys are doing.
All the funds go straight to the Lepanto Institute.
Cool. Very good. All right.
All righty.
Michael Hitchborn, thanks for being on. Thanks for all the work you do. I know that puts a target on your back, the bishops, but someone's got to do this. When
not
people ask,
know
I say,
you
just go to Hitchborn, Michael Lepanto Institute. So,
yeah. All
well
right,
done.
Thank you for the work.
Oh, I lost
you.
Your volume's gone.
Of course it is.
It's gone. All right, well, we'll sign off anyway. Everyone, pray the rosary every single day. You can see behind Michael Hitchborn, Battle of Lepanto. That's how we win battles. That's how we win wars, even when we're outnumbered. Pray the rosary every day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. Godspeed. Michael Hitchborn, thanks a million for being with us.
God bless
right, we'll
you and
you
God bless
time.
Everybody else.